Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. Today I'm going to be talking about hydrogen as a fuel. As we look into the future, our primary goal is to replace fossil fuels, the primary and clearly the most important goal in creating a livable future. And hydrogen is batted around as being a possible source of fuel as we move forward, a source that is promoted in large respect because if you burn hydrogen, what you got left is water vapor. You'll remember from your high school chemistry class, water's H2O. You probably remember that even if you didn't do high school chemistry class. So we've got hydrogen and water. We got a lot of water. We got oceans and water all over the place, basically, with lots and lots of hydrogen in it. So it sounds pretty attractive, the idea of, okay, we can use hydrogen for a fuel, and all that's going to be left over is water vapor, nice and clean, no carbon emissions. Well, that is an attractive picture, and really it is somewhat true. So let's take a look closer and see why I say somewhat. The real issue in hydrogen as a fuel, as a fossil-free, carbon-free fuel, is how do you get the hydrogen? Right now, hydrogen's got lots of applications all over the world. It's an important industry in itself. How do we get that hydrogen? Well, it comes from methane, a fossil fuel. That methane is broken down to create hydrogen in a process that's far too complex for me to understand, but you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. That fossil fuel has got its own greenhouse effects, and those don't go away just because you turn it into hydrogen. In fact, it exacerbates it to an extent because you need more electricity to do that process. And that electricity right now, about 80% of the electricity produced in the United States comes from fossil fuels itself. So that hydrogen that we have mostly right now is not a good substitute for the fossil fuels we're presently using. In fact, in some respects, it's worse. And by the way, there are three different kinds of production processes for hydrogen. That's just one of them. And to keep them straight, that's referred to as gray hydrogen. In other words, it's what we're doing right now. It doesn't really make anything better, possibly making things worse if we transition to hydrogen fuel for vehicles and so on with that form of production. So the next form we're going to look at, form of production, is referred to as blue. And blue hydrogen is hydrogen that's formed from electricity that has been decarbonized to an extent, and that's through carbon capture, capture that's done right at the flue of the fossil fuel burning plant. Well, it's a step in the right direction, but folks, it's just a step. That process, number one, is not really in existence anywhere in the world in any kind of significant way right now. It's an expensive process. It's a technologically complex process. It's a process that hasn't come anywhere near being scaled up. And even if it were in place, there's still plenty of carbon dioxide being released by those fossil fuel burning plants, carbon dioxide that's being released into the atmosphere. So still nowhere near as clean as wind, solar, hydro, nuclear, and so on. So summing up, blue hydrogen, better, but still far from what we would call good enough for creating a livable world into the future. So what's left? What's left is called green hydrogen. And I gotta say, with green hydrogen, as far in the future as it may be, would be, say, something we could say, well, now we're getting somewhere. The green part is hydrogen created by using green electricity, wind from wind, solar, non-carbon sources such as that. And in addition, the process uses water as the source of the hydrogen, not methane, so doubly good. And the process is called electrolysis. You apply electricity to the water in some kind of magical way that the physicists know about, and we divide that water into two parts, the oxygen and the hydrogen. We use the hydrogen for fuel. When we burn that fuel, we're turning it back into water. Water is basically oxidized hydrogen, and so no fossil fuel emissions of any kind whatsoever. Sounds good so far, right? And I got to say, yeah, it does sound good so far. But here comes the but. while hydrogen is a good fuel, maybe even a great fuel, it is bulky, meaning that it has to have very large containers. In its natural form, it's gaseous, which, if used as a fuel, would require really huge containers, whereas if it's compressed into liquid form, the containers are far smaller and probably doable for lots of forms of transportation. The challenge there is that to be maintained in liquid form, the hydrogen has to be kept very cold, like 273 degrees below zero centigrade. So doable, but with some challenges. Another challenge would be, of course, that right now we don't have any near enough green energy in our grid. So where are we going to get the juice to make that hydrogen? So let's fast forward to a time when we do have enough green energy to create green hydrogen. Why would we want it, since there's challenges in the production and storage and so on and so forth? Why not just use batteries? Good question. The answer is that batteries can't be used for everything, and I'm thinking primarily right now about long-haul ocean shipping and long-haul airplanes. Now, airplanes can be electrified to an extent. That would be primarily for small airplanes that travel relatively short distances, under 600-700 miles or so, and carrying maybe 10 passengers. That's doable, and that adds up to about 20% of aviation traffic. So we are getting somewhere. There is some promise for electrifying some aspects of aviation, but that leaves the other 80%. We're talking about transcontinental, trans-ocean flights. And hydrogen could be a really good fuel for that. It would require engineering of new aircraft shapes because of the bulk. Hydrogen, even in liquid form, is still quite bulky because it's so light. And it's doable, and it does seem like a strong possibility for long-distance travel with no CO2 emissions in the future. Now, hydrogen is a possibility for long-distance ocean travel as well. Size not quite so important on vessels of that size. There are a number of other competing sources of energy to replace fossil fuels. We'll have to see how that whole thing plays out. I will comment just parenthetically here that Maersk, which is the world's largest container ship company, has committed to being carbon neutral by 2050. And that seems like a great goal, and pretty amazing to think that those huge vessels can be going across the oceans carrying containers full of our consumer stuff and not emitting any CO2, or at least being net fossil fuel emission zero. Which is a good point for me to just take a quick second here to talk about net zero and zero emissions. They're two different critters. Net zero simply means that a firm, when you look at the carbon that they sequester versus the carbon they release into the atmosphere, they're net zero. In other words, when you add one up to the other, the answer comes out to be zero. Or there are other alternatives too, such as carbon offsets, which are properly managed, a viable way of managing carbon dioxide pollution, but the devil is in the details, and the wild, wild west of carbon offsets right now is something that needs a very close look from anybody who's going to be investing in it. So if a firm tells you they're going to be net zero by 2050, it's worth knowing what they really mean by that. How are they going to get there, and why didn't they say zero carbon emissions by 2050? So is any of this happening in the real world? Well, yeah, actually there are some folks out there who were early adopters doing some kinds of evaluations to see how this is going to work, how it's going to develop. Norway in particular, there's a major grocery wholesaler in Norway. Their fleet is becoming all hydrogen. Their fleet of delivery trucks is becoming all hydrogen. And there's a ferry boat that's going to be operating sometime this year, maybe operating right now, that's fully powered by liquid hydrogen and operating in a beautifully clean way. Of course, Norway's got all that clean hydropower. They're actually an exporter of electricity, green electricity, so they have the electricity to turn water into green hydrogen. So yeah, it can be done. It is being done right now. So that's a quick look at hydrogen from a layperson such as myself. And looking into the future, we can say we're not ready for hydrogen right now because we don't have the electricity to produce it. The hydrogen that's produced right now is not clean. We don't need more dirty stuff in the air. We need clean stuff. but the promise is there, and hydrogen could be an important part of our transportation future that is green and clean. So to the layperson, this all sounds a bit complicated, right? And I'm thinking if I got confronted by a chemist from the industry, that chemist would be able to shut me down pretty fast with talk about technical stuff that I wouldn't be able to get my arms wrapped around. So here's the problem. We do have to get ourselves educated as citizens, as voters, as citizens of the universe who care about the future of our planet. And to do that, we need to do our homework. But we're never going to have the technical knowledge or skills that the experts in the industry have. And that's a problem. So what do we do about that? Well, we know that the industry is lobbying for its own benefit. Think back a couple years ago where the federal government overturned a rule requiring industry to measure and control the amount of methane that was leaking out. That regulation was rescinded as being onerous for the industry, so the industry was left free regulation-wise to leak methane into the environment, and with us being none the wiser. So aside from educating ourselves the best we can, the solution I see is that we have to elect officials who are going to keep an eye on industry, not be servants of industry. They're going to keep an eye on industry, and they're doing that for us in an effort to keep our air, our water clean, and to get our carbon emissions down to zero so that we can have a livable future. And while we're doing all of that, let's keep in mind that just because we get our carbon emissions down to zero doesn't mean that the problem's over. The carbon dioxide we've been putting out in the atmosphere for the last couple hundred years, especially in the last 50 years, is going to be around for hundreds to thousands of years. The Earth is going to continue to warm even if we stop putting carbon dioxide out into the atmosphere right now. So elect officials who understand this and elect officials who are going to be willing to stand up to industry when industry wants to continue with business as usual, or when they want to play publicity, public relations, communications games to lull us into complacency. Somebody once said that liberty requires eternal vigilance, and I would say having a clean environment requires an eternal vigilance also, so let's do that. So that's hydrogen for today. I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email to John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. The CCL part's for Citizens Climate Lobby. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good and, I believe, effective outfit. Check it out. You can check it out at that website, cclTacoma.org. I think you might find some value there. I'm also hosting climate classes from time to time. You can send an email to me, John, at cclTacoma.org to inquire about those classes, or you can go straight to the cclTacoma.org website where there's information about how to register for one of those climate classes. They're good classes, they're layperson classes, but we also dive in and we ask ourselves the question always, what's the future look like and what can we do about it? Well, that's it for today, and here I am reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.